Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general and business aviation. From home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,900 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years experience in the technology and aviation industries. Yeah, we're here in Kingston, Ontario, Canada, the Kingston Radio Control Model Airplane Flying Field with a longtime member, Brian Perkins. Welcome to Plane Talk, Brian.
Thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, it's another day in paradise, Brian.
That's right. Phil, you, as we all know, you were a longtime member many years ago. It's been, what, 5 years or so since you've been here?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's good to have you back.
Last Father's Day Fun Fly. Thank you for having me. Tell everybody about that awesome Fokker triplane you flew today.
Well, my latest model is a one-third size Fokker triplane, which ends up giving you a wingspan of about, I think it's 96 inches, just under 100 inches. So what's that, 9 feet or eight and a half feet? Weighs 39 pounds. It has a 111cc engine, twin cylinder engine, which delivers about 11 horsepower. So it's a model airplane, but it's a big model airplane. And it's it flies just like the real thing. It's challenging to fly. The original World War I Fokker triplanes were difficult to fly. And the model is no different. It's nice in the air, but it requires a bit of attention on takeoff and landing.
Thankfully, you're an outstanding RC pilot.
I'm outstanding in the middle of the field right now. Yeah. Well, I've been flying model airplanes for 49 years. So I guess you do anything long enough, you get pretty good at it, which is too bad I didn't learn to do something of value for 49 years, says my wife. But whatever floats your boat, right?
Well, you know, I would say all the teaching that you've done, contributing to Canada's youth, that's outstanding.
That's true. I was a high school and elementary school technology teacher for a number of years before I retired 2 years ago. So, yeah.
So the level of detail and scale on your Fokker triplane is just absolutely outstanding. I think that with the proper photography, you could not tell that it's a
That's the fun part of it, trying to replicate the actual airplane and that's the fun. That's where the problem solving comes in, and in my opinion, the challenge and the fun part of the hobby is, how can I make this plane look exactly like the real airplane? How can I replicate this part and have it still fly and work well? You know, and even details like putting the pilot, like this has got controls in it that move with the sticks. And so if you look inside the cockpit, you're going to see all the instruments in there and the seat belts and the seats. And there's even a bottle of wine in there. And one of my airplanes has a World War I nudie picture in there that's pinned to the firewall of the Mata Hari, who was sort of the hot babe at the time. So it's all very authentic for the time and detailed. And these are the things that get you points when you're at a scale competition where they judge you on the authenticity and the accuracy of the airplane and realism and stuff like that.
Sure. How long did it take to build?
This one took me 2 years because I just retired and I spent 2 years at it. But I spent 2 years at it. It was like a full day job. My wife is also a teacher and she was still teaching. She's still teaching for another year. So she would go to work and I would go into my shop and put my 8 hours in building a model airplane. So 2 years, pretty well full time work. So probably several thousand hours. I'd say 3,000 to 4,000 hours.
Totally amazing. Brian, what was the first model airplane you built?
Gosh, that's going back a long time. The absolute first model airplane I built was what I thought was a Piper Cub. I was about 8 years old, and I glued up a framework out of toothpicks and white glue, and I covered it with hot box tissue. And of course, it didn't fly. I just destroyed it a couple years ago because I figured I can't hang on all this stuff, but that was... Now, that was not a flying airplane. The first successful flying airplane I built was a scale model of a Fischler Stork, which was a German World War I observation airplane. And it had about a 50-inch wingspan, and it was low-powered, and it flew, but not well. In fact, the test pilot that flew it for me, after he got it back on the ground, he said, take it, and take it to your basement, hang it up from the ceiling and admire it, and don't fly it again because it's probably going to have a very short life if you continue flying it. That's what I had done, and I still have it. But 49 years later, I'm more successful with my design. They tend to all work now. I guess I figured something out.
Well, practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect. That's right.
So what are you working on next?
Well, right now I have six giant, what we call giant scale airplanes. So these are all big models. One of them is got a 120-inch wingspan, so that's 10 feet, right? And another one's 105, and this is the triplane. Anyway, I got six big ones. I don't have any room for anything else. Right now they're hanging up in the garage. They're in my loft, so I'm going to take a hiatus and probably not build anything this winter. Although I am thinking of building a radio-controlled American Bald Eagle. And making a full-scale eagle, same span as a real eagle, having it powered with an electric motor with a folding propeller, doing a really authentic job on it, like painting all the feathers, things like that, so that it looks like the real eagle when it's flying. The idea is you'd fly it to altitude, then you'd cut the engine throttle and glide, like a glider, and glide it around. And I have one I've already built. It's a Hawk. It's a smaller one, about a 4-foot wingspan Hawk. Flies really well. It's not particularly detailed, but up if you get 500 feet in the air, it looks exactly like a Redtail Hawk. And it drives the loons and the ospreys at my cottage crazy. And I think I might like to build the Eagle, go a little bigger, and drive the Hawks crazy or something.
That sounds like absolutely fun. You're flying your Zero today.
I was just, one more comment on the Hawk. Building a radio-controlled bird is really challenging because they're just more directionally unstable. But with our new radios that are all computerized and electronic with stabilization and autopilots, you can make anything fly these days. You know, 30 years ago, you couldn't do that. But you can make something that doesn't look anything like an airplane fly with these new computer guidance systems and stuff. Anyway, you mentioned the Zero. Yeah, I also have had a Zero out today. It's a 1/5 scale model, 1/5 the size of the actual airplane. So that gives me a wingspan of about 8 feet. I think it's 85 inches, so it's a little less than that, 7.5 feet. Weighs 27 pounds. It has a 55 cc engine of about 6 horsepower. Flies well over 100 miles an hour. It has a pneumatic system in it to allow me to retract the landing gear just like the real airplane. So once I take off, I fold the wheels up and fly around. It's got flaps for landing, and it's very streamlined and very fast, so you need the flaps to slow it down for landing. But fun airplane to fly, but it's going fast, and you got to really pay attention to it.
The next scale airplane, once the Eagle's done, what's on your mind?
I like scale airplanes. I mean, you can build airplanes in iron scale. You don't have to build a scale airplane, but my passion or scale, and I prefer the World War I ones. They're my favorite. I fly them nice and slow, and you putt around, and they're like big powered gliders, and they're very pretty in the air. But again, I've got four of them flying right now. I might build a Stuka. A Stuka, which is a German dive bomber aircraft. Doesn't have retractable landing gear on it. I've currently got two World War II airplanes. I got the Zero that I mentioned earlier, and I have a Hawker Hurricane with retractable landing gear. And they're a high-maintenance airplane, so the retractable gear requires a lot of fussiness and maintenance. If you make a rough landing, sometimes things get bent. The Stuka that I mentioned has a fixed landing gear with a wheel pant on it, so it's going to be a little more user-friendly on a day-to-day basis, a little more rugged, and fly a little slower and a little easier to take off and land than the ones with the folding landing gear.
So, Brian, with the experience you have building, flying, socializing with the club, what would be your fondest memory of your experience?
That's a tough one. I've grown up in the club, and Phil, we go back a long time, and we joined the club in 1971, and I've sort of grown up with it, and I've seen the demographic of the club change. Our members are older, more retired. I'm retired now. We've had many, many fun experiences. We travel all over North America going to different events. Probably my fondest memories are my early wins when I was in my teens and 20s, and winning doing well at some of the major events in the States was quite thrilling. And it's always your first time winning event. It's pretty exciting. Again, we're just flying toy airplanes. I'm not going to take it too seriously, but but it's still fun to compete at a high level and do well. I don't care whether you're doing a sport or some form of academics, or it's still fun to compete at a high level and do well. And that is certainly a part of it that I've enjoyed, because I work hard at it and take it. I enjoy it, but I would say those are my more favorite.
Very cool. So any final words for our or thoughts for our audience?
Oh, well, let's invite you back in another 5 years. It's here we are, right? I gotta say, you know, it's a great hobby, and there's a lot of very good friends. And I mentioned competing at a high level, and I will compete at events all over North America, and I get to know the better, more talented builders and flyers, and they become good friends over the years. And it's a hobby that sort of it's conducive to sharing information. Nobody is sort of hoarding their knowledge. They're happy to share their skills and what they've learned, and they're super enthusiastic about it. And there's nothing more fun than talking about model airplanes. So that's the way I'll wrap it up.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. It was great to see you, and great to have you in Plane Talk.
You're welcome, Phil. Good to have you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.